Well, I can definitely say amen to that song. I'm glad that I'm saved. Wouldn't want to think where I would be if it wasn't for the Lord, for His love and for His light. I tremble to think what that would be like. But I'm thankful that, as we all know and understand, we'll read this scripture here in just a bit. John 3:16 is, I guess you could say, a foundational scripture for belief in Christ and what Jesus came to do for us. And I don't endeavor to talk about the love of God tonight, but yet it is related to it. And so we'll start with reading John 3:16 and read some verses after that. These are your prayers. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So, we have here a story of salvation and a story of God's love, but He expressed His love in sending a light into the world. And we can go way back to the beginning of time when God created light, spoke it into existence. And that alone in itself is amazing. Just this afternoon, we were coming home from Springfield, and was amazed at the different ways that the light was, beautiful displays of light. We had the sun setting in the west, or at least starting to go down, and different arrays of clouds, and so impressive that I had to get my cell phone out and take some pictures of. It was just really impressive, in awe. But that's just one little sliver of what light can do. You consider what the sun... we need the sun. How many times have maybe we've told our children, you need to go outside and get some vitamin D. You need to go get some sun. Play outside. But not just us as humans. Yes, we need it. The plants need it. We need it to stay warm. And God in His creation in the universe placed the earth and all its living beings, us on this earth, placed it just perfectly, the perfect distance from the sun, that we're not all frozen like the little planet Pluto, but yet we're not all burned up. And God positioned us just right to where the sun, we get the greatest benefit, no matter what the occasion is. And so it is with the Son of God. The Lord sent His Son for Him to be a benefit, and not just a benefit, the Savior, the Redeemer, to spare us from death and destruction. Because you see, you read in the Old Testament, and how many times, such a sad examples of perhaps different times where people's lives were taken because they sinned against God, and God dealt with them harshly. But He had the law, and if they disobeyed the law, they were killed, they were stoned, and not only that, you have the stories of like Cain and Abel, Cain killing his brother, and brutal murder, and then there's all other examples of where sin was rampant. You look at the days of Noah, and then there's also the times of with Abraham and Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, and the sin was disgusting to God, and He wanted to destroy the earth with the flood. But He spared one family, wanted to destroy these cities, and God spared a few, Lot's family, and so on and so forth. But God was working towards a plan, all right? He wanted to save. He wasn't willing that any should perish. But He knew there was going to be a cost, okay? And this was the death of His Son. And so I'm thankful tonight that God so loved the world. God so loved you and I that he sent the light of the world. Because you see, this world was full of darkness. And yes, there's still darkness around us. But before Christ came, it was terribly dark. You have the few hundred years before Jesus came, it was really bad. A lot of the children of Israel had fallen away. They were in captivity. And there weren't any real prophets there to lift up the name of the Lord. And God was so sad about that. But yet, he sent his son. Perhaps you could say at the darkest time in this world, at that time, and sent his son to shine a light. And you think of the Jews that Jesus came to, God's own people. And how many times we read this scripture, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And how many times, and Sister Esther mentioned that Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Why did he weep over Jerusalem? Because his own people were rejecting the light. Okay? And that's something, how many times have we seen, we've done it ourselves. We'll see a child where they go outside and the sun's so bright and they're holding their hand up here to protect their eyes from the sun. Some of us wear sunglasses because it's so bright. Well, that's what the Jews, that's what the sinners were doing to their hearts, putting their hand over their hearts. They didn't want that light to penetrate because they were hiding something. They were hiding selfish deeds, sinful deeds, things of carnality that was ultimately not just destroying themselves, but destroying all of mankind. Putting their hands over their hearts and over their eyes and their minds, they didn't want that light to penetrate because they were enjoying that position. They were enjoying that fame. They were enjoying the pleasures of sin. And God's saying, oh no, let the light shine. And so Jesus is shining his light, all right? Well, we know how that ended. They killed him. They loved their deeds of darkness. I want to tell you something. Just like our sun in the solar system, no one can put the sun out. You could send up all kinds of missiles, all the atom bombs you could imagine, shoot them up that direction, and it wouldn't take but not too far, and the sun would just extinguish them, just like that. You can't touch the sun. Let me tell you, it's the same with Jesus. You can't put Jesus out. Jesus is going to shine regardless, but what happens is people blind themselves, okay? They protect their own eyes and their minds and their hearts so that the light will not penetrate. And all that Jesus is wanting to do, we've heard this story before. Someone walking out and they have this big coat on and it's cold outside, just a little story here. And this big thick winter coat, and they walk outside and they're nice and warm and cozy and they're content and just kind of walk along doing their own thing. But then the sun comes out. And they feel the sun, they start getting a little warm, they kind of relax a little bit. And then they keep walking, and the sun keeps beating down on them, it warms them up a little bit more, and finally, they take the coat off, all right? You know, that's just like you and I. The Lord is trying to warm our hearts up, trying to shed his love. That's what he was doing with Jesus, trying to penetrate that coat, that heavy coat of sin and self and darkness, to get inside there, to melt you down, all right? To get inside there and make something of you. Well, that's what the Lord's trying to do with mankind today. That's why we're here on earth. That we be lights of the world. And in a sense, we could say the Lord wants us to be a moon, a lesser light. That we could be up there and shine, all right? But all that we're shining is from what's coming from the sun. We're reflecting the light, the power, the love of God, the lesser light, all right? To help this dark and sinful world. Well, yes, the world needs a light. We need a light. But let's take a little twist to this. In 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, in verse 5. And this is where the darkness hides things. Okay? I'll just tell a little story, and no doubt those that have gone hunting before can relate to this. I remember when I was pretty young going hunting with my brothers and my cousins, different ones, and go deer hunting and get up early in the morning, get out there when it's still dark, all right? Climb up in this deer stand and sitting there, and it's all dark outside, and It's amazing how your imagination plays games with you. Because in the darkness, I'm hearing these little noises, these little critters and animals scurrying around, and I may see something move over there, and I'm imagining, oh, that's probably a 15-point buck over there, you know. I can see some branches moving and something rustling over there, or maybe I see something in the distance, and it's starting to get just a little light. I can see looks like a body of something over there. Maybe that's another deer over there, and all these imaginations going on. But after a while, when the sun's fully up, and I'm able to see, oh, well, that was just a stump over there, or that was just some rocks over there. But that's how it is. When it's dark, you're confused, and it's not clear, and you got all these using your imagination, coming up with all kinds of things. Maybe you're kind of, I remember times when I was a little scared and heard some noises, thinking that, well, I know there's no bears out here. Maybe that's a mountain lion or something. And so there's fear involved. You're like, well, what's really out there? I'm glad I'm up in a tree. Oh, well, mountain lions can climb trees, you know. And so there's all these unknowns because you don't know what's out there. But, you know, that's the same with you and I. There's a lot of unknowns out there. And we're humans, and we're tempted to doubt. We're tempted to work up imaginations of what we think is out there. But there's also another side of it. Here in 1 Corinthians 4 and 5, it says, therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Well, we can look at this in one respect, that at the end of time, at the judgment day, that yes, all things will be made manifest. And we know that, all right? But there's also a side of it that here on this earth, there's times where God will reveal things by shining his light upon the deeds of wickedness and evil and those that are partaking of sin, and only out of love and mercy to spare souls here. That he doesn't want us all to be consumed. And so he reveals something. He'll turn a spotlight on certain areas, on the wicked deeds of sinners out there, just to reveal what's really going on. All right? But sometimes it takes time. I'll tell another story. This is, again, something that took place when I was a child. We would get together at Grandmother Cole's house, and as a bunch of us cousins, we would play these little games and pranks on each other. And one of them was called the helicopter ride. And perhaps some of y'all will remember that in our family. What we would do is the person that was going to go on the ride would get blindfolded. Okay? And then you had a couple of individuals over here. And there was this big board, this plank that you were supposed to step up onto. So you're blindfolded. And then they lead you to step up on this big piece of plywood, and then two individuals would get on either side of it. And what they would do is they would lift the board up, and you're blindfolded and you're not supposed to be hanging on anything, just standing there. And they lift the board up, and they make it feel as if you're being lifted about 3 feet off the ground. And they do that, they trick you in several different ways. They're really shaking the board like they're really straining to lift you up. And then they get their voices way down here where it feels like you're going way up. And then they have a book or something, and then they hit the top of your head. Well, you think you hit the ceiling. And you're blindfolded, and you think you're way up in the air. Well, I remember the first time it happened to me, it gets to the point like, okay, jump. Well, I'm not going to jump. And so you don't want to jump because you feel like you're 3 feet off the ground. And finally, if you don't jump, they kind of help you jump. And The surprising effect is when you finally jump off, it's like, boom, you're only like 4 inches off the ground. Quite a trick. And it wasn't so fun when you were the one being blindfolded because you didn't know what was going on. You had all these fears of, well, I hope I don't land on something, you know, 3 feet down there. And, you know, the unknown, you didn't know what was happening. And being duped and tricked, you know, all these other little things are done to deceive you. And but then after the fact, then you get to sit back and watch the others and kind of laugh at them, you know, and help participate in it. But, you know, that's the same in life, that there's times when the devil likes to play games with us because we can't see into the future. and we can't see clearly what's around us, we don't really understand what's going on. And the devil's just playing games with us. And the devil's maybe just wanting to kind of push us and taunt us and do all these things, and we don't know what to do because we're blindfolded. But those of us that are looking on and we can see everything, we're like, they're just 5 inches off the ground, you know. And here they think they're 3 feet off the ground. But you know, that's the same with mankind. Those that are blinded by the ways of sin, that are blinded by their selfish deeds, they don't see how foolish they look. You understand what I'm saying? They don't realize what they're doing to themselves. They're the ones at the laughing stock, because they're doing all these selfish things and causing a big scene and causing issues and stirring up strife and destroying their lives, destroying other people's lives. And the devil's just back just having fun, just tantalizing, just harassing them and just, you know, laughing at them. But here we have the opportunity of the light to shine upon us. And I remember in that same time, there were some that were looking on that were a little too tenderhearted, especially for the younger children. And they would kind of let slip what was really going on, say, you're not that far off the ground. You know, you're okay. It's just right there. You know, just step off and you'll be all right. You know, we have someone called the Savior that'll do the same for you and I, to save us from hurting ourselves, to save us from making a big fool of ourselves. It'll come up and whisper to us, child, I'm right here. You know, you're not way up there like you think you are. And you'll be okay. Just step off. You'll be all right. You know, we have a Savior that's willing to do that. To hold our hand, that's all it would take. If someone would have held my hand and actually talked to me right where I really was, instead of waiting on the ground, making me think I was way up there, that would have been a true friend, okay? But we have someone, a Savior, that's willing to walk right beside us. And that we can hear that still, small voice. And that one that's holding our hand saying, child, it's okay. You can step off here and it's okay. You're not going to hurt yourself, and you need to step this far out, okay? And the Lord will tell you exactly what to do. And then when you're through that, then the blindfold is off. Then you see and know and you understand it all, and it makes sense. Well, but sometimes it takes a lot of time for things to be revealed. As the scripture says, he'll bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Again, our imaginations can run wild in the dark, do they not? How many times, I remember again as a boy at home, mentioned some of it this morning. You go outside, you got a chore to do at nighttime. I always felt, much more secure to have a big flashlight in my hand. And not only that, I'd have this flashlight and I'd also be making all kinds of noises, you know, kind of hollering and singing or yelling or whatever to make sure whatever was out there knew I was coming and I had this light, you know. But then there was times when maybe the battery went dead. I was way away from the house. I wasn't so fun. But there's a scripture in Psalms 27 and 1. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You see, we as humans, sometimes we, in our own selves, think we're pretty mature. Maybe we think we're bulletproof. I've made it this far, and it's no big deal. I can make it, you know. But then there's times when, if we could say this, the light goes out on us. And we feel lost. We feel hopeless. We're afraid. We're like, well, I've never been here before, and I've never been in this situation before, and I don't know what to do. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. You know, there's an inner strength there that the Lord desires to give us. But what it's going to take is someone to, first of all, realize we don't have the light within ourselves. Just like the moon, it can't shine by itself. It has to have a source, an exterior power, something, a supernatural power, the sun that God spoke into existence. That is the light of God in our lives. It's something that we don't have the source. We can't create it. Neither can we put it out. It's just always there. But yet it's up to us do we ask for it in our hearts and in our lives? Say, Lord, shine your light upon me. Lord, let your light give me strength. You know, isn't there something amazing about it? I remember a story that my father told years ago. And it was Grandmother Cole had planted a big garden of corn. And they were up, I guess, to a gentle stage where a big rain came. Driving winds and rain, hard rain, and just pounded the corn down. Just laid it down. And they went out there the next morning and looked at it, and it was just all laid over, just a big mess. And everyone was kind of saddened over it and all the work grandmother put into it and the hopes of, you know, reaping a wonderful harvest. And when my dad testified of it later, he went back. I don't know if it was the next day or whatever it was. But went back soon after that, and guess what? The corn was all standing up. And you know why? Because the sun came up. Because the sun shone on it. And that's where it's amazing. I've seen plants where they'll bend towards the light. They're drawn to that light. And you know, that's the natural course of humanity. When we allow the Lord, we open our hearts to the Lord, do we naturally follow where He's leading? We follow where He's guiding, directing, and channeling us. And if we allow Him to. But here, this corn, it received life. It received its energy. And it came up. It was as if it resurrected from the ground, and there was life yet in this corn. You know, it's the same with you and I. The devil may beat us down, all right, to where we feel like we're defeated. We're laying flat on the ground, and we, you know, darkness, it came over us, and the storm came, and the winds came, and we're laying flat on our back, so to speak. But when the sun comes up, when the Son of God arises, then there's power. When He comes on the scene. Just like when Jesus, when He was resurrected, there was power. He walked through the doors and the walls. They didn't have to open them for Him. He just went through them. There was power that He had. And that same power He wanted to give to His followers. Not just His little nucleus of disciples and followers. He wanted that same power for all mankind. That's why God sent His only begotten Son into the world. But you know, it is amazing how the darkness, you hear the stories. Of course, I'm sure we have a ex-police officer in here that's was acquainted with crimes and dealing with such things. But many of the crimes committed were at nighttime, were they not? That's when it seems like evil is rampant, because they're hiding under the cloak of darkness. But I want to tell you something. God is bigger than that. And there's something I've witnessed and testified, or I say, experienced. Those that were caught in bondage of sin and darkness lived a horrible, wicked life. And we're not just talking about people that go out and commit crimes or sins at nighttime. We're talking about it didn't matter what time of day it was. They were living a life of sin. And the devil was using them as like little puppets on a string and just destroying their lives and everyone else around them. But someone came on the scene with the greater power. And that was the power of the resurrected Son, the light of the world, that melted away all that darkness, all right, that dispelled all the powers of sin and exposed who was really working behind the scenes, and that was the enemy. You see, we know the scripture that the devil, Satan, he came to steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah. And he's not content just to do those that are already caught in sin. It's all of us. Those of us that are living righteous lives. That are living according to God's word. Those of us that are saved and sanctified, baptized. Whatever testimony you have. The Lord wants to destroy you too. In fact, I'm sorry, the devil wants to destroy you too. In fact, the devil would love if he could just kill you right now. And maybe perhaps before he killed you somehow, he would bring some fears and some doubts and maybe cause you to hurt someone. Maybe to offend someone and just cause you to stumble, stub your toe, and then try to kill you. That's just the devil. I mean, he's a ruthless enemy. That's what the devil would love to do. But it's the power of God and the light of God right now that's allowing us to sit in these pews that we're at right now and have salvation working and alive in us. All right? It's the power of God. That's the power of light. The light of God within our hearts, all right, is able to dispel all the darkness out there. And the devil has to stand at bay. But I want to tell you something. It comes down to this. just the other night, and it's not just, it's been several times, in fact, this season. You notice at nighttime that the lights that come on, whether it's on your porches or wherever it is, that all these little bugs and these moths come flocking to the light. Isn't that amazing how God made that? And then also the other evening, we were somewhere and it was kind of dark. And we saw, before the lights were turned on, we saw something, a little dark little critter crawling along. And flipped the light on, and yep, it was a roach. So there's other little critters, little insects that they love the darkness. That's when they do their work, okay? And so you could say it this way, that Lord, help us to be a harmless little moth. That we would be attracted to the light. We would be swarming around the light to where there's enough of us that it's obvious. And just the other evening, we're out here at the chapel and the porch light out there that was on. And talk about a swarm of little bugs. It was obvious. A bunch of them were attracted to the light. And it made a scene. They got some attention. You know, it could be the same with you and I. That Lord, help us to be like these little moths that are so attracted to the light that enough of us getting together, swarming around the light of God, okay, that we can cause a scene. I'm not talking about a bad scene, but I'm talking about we become obvious. What's obvious, these people are attracted to something, something that's powerful. It's drawing these people from everywhere, all right? That's what our job is. The scripture says, ye are the light of the world. Okay? You know, that's a job for you and I. And so here we have the enemy of our souls. He knows that we have a job to be the lights of the world. And so he's going to try in every way he can, okay, to bring some type of shadow over our life. Something that the devil can put his little finger hold in, so to speak. That he can claim just a little sliver of this area over here, and he's blocking, all right, and we're allowing the devil to block some light in our hearts. And maybe just a little bit. It's not very noticeable. Well, just a little bit there, I can't see what's really going on, and there's still light over here. But the devil would love just to put a big old blanket, big old shade. What's the little children's song? Hiding under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. I want to tell you something. The devil is working overtime right now, today, that these lights will be put out. That these lights will be dimmed, okay? Because he doesn't want the rest of the world to be exposed to God's light, all right? So guess what he's going to do? He's going to work on you and I. He's going to work overtime on you and I that we feel so beaten down like those stalks of corn that we feel like we're never going to get up. We're never going to amount to anything. I'm just lying here. But then the sun comes up. And let me tell you, folks, there is something about when the Lord comes on the scene and pays you a visit, a personal visit, something rises up within you, okay? Say, I'm not going to stay beaten down anymore. There's something more to life here than the laying down defeated. And feeling like there's no hope. I'm totally helpless. I'm worthless. I'm a failure. There's nothing else that my life doesn't amount to anything. The devil loves hearing that. Because there's a shadow over your life then. And the devil say, oh yeah. And he keeps trying to put another blanket and put another layer on, put another coat on, whatever he can to hide that light that was shining once upon a time. To hide that light to where you're not helping someone else. And if he can continue to hide that light, then that hampers that light from shining on someone else. And then before long, the darkness just spreads. I want to tell you something. That doesn't have to be. The light of God can spread. The wonderful news of the gospel is what we should be, Lord, help us, living in our everyday lives. But yes, the devil wants to put, put a little bushel over that light.
Yes,
but again, the enemy, he can't put that light out. He tried. He killed Jesus. The Jews? Yes. That light was, yeah, it was in the darkened tomb for a couple of days there. But that wasn't the end of the story. You know, that's the same with you and I. Perhaps we find ourselves in that darkened tomb. Perhaps we find ourselves like that stalk of corn, kind of laying down, feeling beaten down. And the devil would love for us to stay in that position, because he knows if we spring back up, we might just have a testimony for the Lord and testify of what that light, what that love, what that power of God did for us. And not just us, all these other stalks of corn rose up together. You know, there's power in unity. And not only that, let's take this little analogy a little further. You know what that corn was meant to do? It was meant to feed. That's what it was used for. You know, that's what God wants to use us for. To feed other souls. It could be your husband. It could be your wife. It could be your children. It could be your grandparents. It could be your next door neighbor. It could be the fellow on the job. And guess what? It could be your enemy. What's the scripture say? What did Jesus teach? The light of the world. What did he teach? Love your enemies. Do good to those that persecute you. So the Lord's wanting you to have something on hand that you can feed someone else. All right? You know, that's possible. What'd Jesus tell Peter to do? Feed my sheep.
Yes.
You know, the Lord's telling all of us the same thing. Feed my sheep. Oh, yeah, we may not all be preachers. We may not all be Sunday school teachers. Fill in the blank. It doesn't matter. Ye are the light of the world. We are the lesser light, the moon that shines up there trying to reflect, all right, the greater light, the Son of God, that the world may see and know that there is someone greater out there, that there's someone out there that has resurrection in his name. Well, there's another scripture, Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, there's little children's songs about that too. It's a simple thought, but sometimes it's so easy. Maybe we're on our journey with the Lord, walking down the path of life. And you know what? Sometimes it can get lonely. You're fighting the battles of life and you're doing all you know to do for the Lord. And it seems like on every hand, the devil's trying to darken your path over here and trying to put something in your path here as a stumbling block and a stumbling stone. And sometimes you feel like you're all alone. I'm going to tell you something. That's called the straight and narrow way. But the key is, while we're walking this straight and narrow way, that we allow this lamp, Thy Word, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, allow Him to travel with you. On your path of life, that no matter what we come across, that we not stumble upon these things and things that we may stumble upon. Fear and doubts. Fear of the unknowns. Maybe there's something ahead of us that's casting a shadow. This big thing in front of us is casting a shadow. And we can't see the sun fully. We just see a little part of it. And there's a shadow. And we don't see what's really going on. What's the scripture say? Casting down imaginations. That we can have the Spirit of God, all right, walking with us through life. This lamp being a light into our paths. Exposing what the enemy is trying to do. That the enemy is trying to destroy you. That the enemy is trying to cause you to lose hope. To slip up here, to slip up there, to get a little complacent over here, to allow, if we could say, a little bit of self to rise up, a little bit of pride, whatever it is, You fill in the blank. But there's something about when the light comes on. You know, there's security in light. I mentioned earlier a little story of me going out as a boy. But just the other evening, I kind of had my own experience. I'm 35 years old, and I was at home. And I was outside. It was dark. I was working around out by the shop. Everyone else was inside asleep. I was having to get some things done and walking around outside. And all of a sudden, I heard this commotion. This big old rustling in the weeds and the back behind the shop where there's no lights. I'm thinking, what is that? Well, it kept rustling around, and I'm like, And our dog wasn't anywhere around, so I'm like, well, I wonder, and it's getting closer. So I'm thinking, this is interesting. Guess what I did? I went and got the big old mag light. And when I got this mag light, and I shone that mag light right over where the noise is coming from, I don't know what it was about it, but just a little secure feeling came. I'm like, okay, whatever it is, I got you, you know. All right, where are you at, you know? You know, that's the same. That's how the Lord wants us to feel with Him. And so we could ask ourselves this question. Do you have the light of God on hand? Are you allowing, do you have the light of God? Are you shining it on your path? Do you feel secure in your relationship with the Lord? Or do you have these doubts and fears? We're all humans. We heard this morning about being out in the boat with the storm, rocking us around, rowing all night, working, sweating, not knowing what's going to happen next. But the light of God came walking on the water. And when they realized who it was, guess what? They were at peace. Oh, that's Jesus. That's the Master. And when we have the Master on board, when we have the light of God, when we have a hold of that light, and we're shining around, that makes us feel secure. That makes us feel that, okay, I think with the light of God, I think we can handle this. Well, there's another scripture in John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So the challenge is up to you and I. First off, do we see the light? Do we acknowledge the light? Secondly is, are we following it? And then thirdly, you could say, are we partaking of it? Have we grasped hold of it? Are we embracing the Word of God? Are we embracing the understanding, the light, the times that God visited us? And God spoke things to our hearts and comforted us. And God helped us through all these times. But I want to tell you something. We are human. And there's times when the devil wants us to forget those things. And to forget how the Lord helped us through previous storms. That we didn't die. All right. The Lord spared us. The Lord brought us this far. But that light of God is would shine in our paths, that you can use, we could say it this way, we can use the spotlight of the Lord to bring to our minds, all right, previous victories. You know, sometimes that's a great inspiration. And it may not just be the victories of ourselves. It may be the victories that others have won, the battles that others have faced, and they came through shining forth the light of God, having this glowing testimony of what the Lord did for them. And sometimes we need to allow that light of God to shine around in our hearts or our minds and to reveal that there's this whole host, okay, of those cloud of witnesses testifying of hitherto hath the Lord helped us. All right? It's shining upon all these Ebenezer stones that's glistening in the light of God, that the Lord has helped this person, this saint, this brother, this sister. He's helped you through these difficult times. And the light of God is shining all around us. And these things are just sparkling like diamonds, that God's all around us. He's not forsaken us. And as the song we sang this morning, He's going to help us through. The Lord's not forsaken us. His light is still shining. There's nothing that can put that light. The love of God goes beyond comprehension. And where the love of God is, there's light. And where light is, what's the scripture say? There is life. We have life, eternal life within us right now, if we're allowing the light of God to shine in our hearts. And as we walk through the channels of life, and we take the light of God with us, we can help encourage this other little stalk of corn to stand up too. That they can make it too. That this light of God would inspire, that it would spread, all right? Like wildfire. That it would spread, that, excuse me, that as the scripture says, and I mentioned earlier, that not any would perish. That those, sometimes we look at that scripture as saying, well, that none of those should perish out there. Well, that's true, but that means you and I too. The Lord doesn't want us to perish as well. The Lord prayed for us too. Jesus prayed for us, as was mentioned this morning even, multiple times. And beyond that, we have the light of God on the right hand of the throne of God right now, interceding for us. And His spotlight's down here. He sees us. He knows exactly where we're at. And He's shining upon our pathway. And He's running the devil off. You know, it's like, how many times have you done that before? You run the intruder off with the light. You know, just, oh, there he goes. He's gone. He's scared of the light. You know, that's what the Lord can do with the enemy as well. Turn on that spotlight. There he goes. Ah, he's a chicken. He's afraid of the power of God, of what it can do in your life and in mine. I desire your prayers. I'll be faithful.